This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is just after 7. It's time for us to check in on the Burning Platform. Yes, Justice Malala is here live for the Burning Platform this morning. Good morning, Justice. How are you?
Good morning. It's all very good.
I'm happy to hear it. Let us begin with a menu item for this morning. Are we talking hot peri-peri? Are we talking the Mozambican peri-peri? Are we talking mild lemon and herb? Where do we put the political scenario at the moment?
The Soccer World Cup is about to start.
Yes.
So you know, I think most politicians you'll find won't be around. You'll find that flights and connections to Russia will be very, very full.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a nice time. The next 4 weeks or so, you know, people are just going to find themselves that, you know, the country runs best when its leaders have just taken off.
And of course, it's a very important time for Slay Queens because they're going to be invited to watch soccer matches.
Oh, my goodness.
What is a Slay Queen?
Oh, that's...
Now, moving on swiftly.
They are the people who do the most, Mr. Malala.
Ah, I see. I thought we were doing the most last week. I'm a bit taken aback by that.
There's a lot to talk about in the Burning Platform this morning. Where shall we begin? How's the president doing?
Can we start with the World Cup?
Oh, of course
we can. I'll tell you something. Right. I just suddenly realized the other day. So you saw Becky Cele, new minister of police.
Yes.
You're not so new, maybe 6 months old now. So he goes off and there's a football match for Senzo Meiwa.
Yes.
And Becky Cele is there and Senzo Meiwa's dad is there. Those who follow Twitter will remember him. Everyone is there and it's at Moses Mabhida Stadium, and you know, the guys come in, they play some football, and it's, you know, it's a touching ceremony. They're remembering the former Bafana Bafana captain, and so a lot is said, but Becky Cele says we are working on it, we are going to arrest Senzo Meiwa's killers. And it's all yes, so forth. And I thought about 2010. Now, you know, Sia was too young to remember this. But Sia, there was a time in South Africa 8 years ago when actually there was no crime in this country.
Everything worked.
It started June 10 when...
Do you remember the freeways were open?
Freeways were open. There was no crime. And if you did steal Mabale's bag over there, my brother, it was over for you. It's over.
You went straight to jail.
You got arrested very fast. You went straight to court. By that evening, you were already in Sun City contemplating a long life. In there, maybe 2, maybe 3 years. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So everyone kept on saying, we're going to learn something from this. We're going to do this, will improve stuff and so forth.
Right.
You know, my sadness is that all that stuff that we did because we had foreign visitors, they get on the bus, get on to our Tambo, go back home, and we've reverted to the same old ways. How is it that for 1 month, You could be arrested and face trial and bam, done. That we were running an efficient state.
Well, Sepp was in charge.
Maybe we should find Sepp somewhere and bring him back. Because clearly we're not succeeding here.
He hasn't got much on at the moment either.
I know, but still, he did. I mean, if Gareth is right, then, you know, he cleaned up this country for sure for 1 month.
Look, he'll charge like a wounded buffalo, but he'll sort it out.
He'll also want a little something on the side.
Well, I was going to say, he too has some sticky hands.
But maybe it would be worth paying him if we could get things working. Do you remember they had those FIFA courts? Do you remember?
There were courts. You know, I mean, nowadays, whenever I get stopped by a Metro Police officer and, you know, they're always basically, they're like ATMs. They're trying to... raise money for the city. If not, then they just keep me talking hoping that I'll say, is there something we can arrange?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. So, you know, I have fond memories of the World Cup in South Africa because I thought we did an amazing thing. I'm looking forward to seeing Russia's opening ceremony tonight because South Africa's opening ceremony was beautiful. We put on a nice show for the world. We put in a nice bit of theater and we pulled off a nice game. And who's that guy? Shabalala, who's got the first goal. You
Spirit
know,
Shabalala,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just, everything was just fantastic. You could feel that South Africa was together and doing something. But I liked the fact that from the airports, from the borders where people were just present your passport, welcome to South Africa, we are open for business. Mm-hmm. Imagine if that was the spirit today. I'll tell you something. South Africans have been feeling very positive about the political situation and so forth. But we need to ignite the economy. One of the figures that came out yesterday from Stats SA is that retail sales are down. It means South Africans aren't even shopping.
Yeah.
It's we're not shopping. What's the point? We need to get all that done. If we do the right things like we did with the World Cup, people are going to go out there, buy watches, phones, whatever, stuff like that. So I just think all these things are interrelated. So yeah, I wish we had that spark that we had with the World Cup. And I don't understand why we lost it, because we clearly demonstrated that we can do crowd control, we can do courts, we can do crime prevention,
yeah.
We can do all these things.
I mean, infrastructure and transport.
We
and the whole
built
lot.
Stadium. We built roads for the World Cup. I tell you, the best moment of my life in that World Cup was going to Polokwane and sitting in that beautiful, you know, say what you will about it and say the fact that, you know, you've got a stadium in Polokwane, but you just build another one right next to it. So I don't know what they're doing with the other one right now. But anyway, we'll get to that someday. But the point was sitting in this beautiful stadium watching France versus Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh man, we'd done it. We'd done it and we did. So it's possible.
So again, just showing you that there's no reason why we have to keep failing.
No, absolutely not. We did such an amazing thing. The law enforcement was fantastic.
Now,
amazing.
Let's just talk about this Saturday because it's Youth Day again.
Mm.
And we always make, we pay lip service to Youth Day and we talk about the uprisings of 76 and how important that was. But I wonder how many people pause and think about where the youth are today and whether or not we've done enough for young people in South Africa.
Yeah, I'd like to do more, to see more research around this. But my point about Youth Month is here we are, and as you say, you know, you'll see loads and loads of people celebrating the spirit of 76. People like to wear school uniform and da, 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 and you know, that's all sorts of, and they're lovely gestures in themselves. But you know, in South Africa, the young people, and that's people under 35 largely, unemployment in that grouping is anywhere, you know, Stats SA will give us 53%, some people give us 65%. The wider definition of unemployment sometimes goes beyond 65. Mm. But if you're born in South Africa, over the past 20 years and you are a young person, I don't think the celebration of Youth Month and Youth Day actually focuses on what it is we're trying to get to here. And the key thing is that we need to get people in employment. And the unemployment number remains stubborn and has remained stubborn since 2009. Up to 2008, we were at 20% unemployment. Since then, in the 10 years after that, 8-9 years, we've gone back to 26.3 at the moment. It was at 27.7 last year, third quarter. And we seem to think, oh, you know, it's us, the old geezers. And actually, it's young people,
mm-hmm.
people in their 20s mainly, who don't have jobs. And I think there's a lot of people, you go to conferences and people will talk about South Africa's youth bulge and you know, we have these young people are what the world needs now because the Japanese don't have small young people and the Chinese are running off young people and so forth. So we have an opportunity, but we're not using the opportunity. Mm. Our young people are out there, they are unemployed, they have very poor prospects.
Mm. Just take those off because they're rattling on the thing. You don't need them on. Headphones, everybody, just to let you know. It's not Justice losing his mind. Yeah, well, Youth Day, it becomes Youth Month and there's symbolism, but you know, people really want jobs. They don't necessarily want memorials.
Absolutely. And I think we should do more about that than we pay lip service to it. But I think all these key moments and days and commemorations excuse me, need us to really go back and look at what we're doing. You know, in August it will be Women's Month and Women's Day. After that, we'll soon have the month of no violence to women in particular. Mm-hmm. And we do all these things, but you look at, for example, violence against women in this country, the killings of women by men in this country. It's horrific, you know. And you sit there and say, what's going on here? Yesterday, there was a piece in one of the newspapers and some football star had thrown a TV set at his wife. He got 1,000 rand bail. And we say, every year we celebrate this thing and say, oh, it's Women's Month, we must do this, we must do that. But actually, when it comes to the practical effect, this is someone with influence, someone who should know better, every one of us should know better, throws a TV set at his wife and gets off on 1,000 rand bail. So it's almost like, yeah, we'll talk about it. It's nice. Minister allocates some budget, there's a rally, some singing, some dancing and so forth, and that's it. Actually, we're not doing anything about changing the cultures, the toxic cultures around these issues. So my thing about this month is that it's great, and I think people should learn about young people like Tsietsi Mashinini and Hector Peterson and so many others who gave their lives to fight for equal education, for all the good things that we now enjoy. But my word, we would do way better for our people if we achieved the things that they fought for in our lifetime, rather than just think that, oh, we've arrived, we've allocated a bit of a budget from the Arts and Culture Ministry towards a rally in Mpumalanga or somewhere, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's great to listen to Chomi and so forth at a government thing, but quite frankly, you know, I mean, these things just look terrible when you look at the content of what these things are. So, you know, I tell you, the memory of 1976 was always a powerful thing for me, for many people growing up, becoming conscientized and so forth. But I think the powers that be need to realize that we'll have failed. And these are just words and words, empty words. If actually the content of these celebrations is nothing more than just using history for political purposes. And I'm very aware that over the next year, it will be interesting to see what we celebrate. Many of us have forgotten that in December last year, the acting CEO of SASSA, the South African Social Security Agency, went and had four events where the costings for each one were just under 500,000 rand. And all of these, suddenly the minister who was supposed to appear didn't appear, and guess who was appearing?
Who?
Jacob Zuma.
Oh, right.
So, you know, for me, one of the things you need to be careful about with an election coming up in just 1 year is that we celebrate Youth Month, but actually it's being used to drum up support for one or other political party in the run-up to that election. So I feel bitter and sad about some of these celebrations. I don't think we're really going anywhere and doing anything meaningful with them. And I think June 76 is a particular, particularly infuriating celebration, because I think that we could do so much more about opportunities for young people, creating jobs, making sure that people believe that tomorrow will be better than today. But many young people out there don't believe that tomorrow is better than today. They believe that actually I'll only make it if I know Sia or I know Mabale or I know Justice, I know so-and-so. And they will, you know, pave the way for me to become something. And that's wrong. That's just not the way it should be.
Can we talk about, you mentioned Jacob Zuma just a minute ago. He's busy causing trouble in KZN, and the ANC in KZN is still in shambles.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
So the ANC decided that, no, we are ready to hold a conference in KwaZulu-Natal. You'll remember that there was a national task team led by a man called Mike Mabuya-Kulu, sent by the ANC to KwaZulu-Natal to stabilize the province. The courts had found that the executive that was led by Sihle Zikalala was fraudulently elected, that it was not legitimate, and that it should be disbanded. So the ANC did that earlier this year. And now Mike Mabuya-Kulu and Sihle Zikalala came around and said, okay, we're good to have a conference now. We've sorted out our problems and so forth and so forth. Many of us knew that, no, you haven't sorted out your problems, because in the run-up to this conference last Friday, Cyril Ramaphosa had gone down to KwaZulu-Natal, and you remember when he arrived in eThekwini, he was sitting at a desk in front with other leaders, including Nomvula Mokonyane. And the people in the room, and these are not just ordinary members, these are leaders of branches and regions, started singing, "Austele, wenzeni Zuma? Tell us, what has Jacob Zuma done?" And they were singing right to Ramaphosa's face. What was amazing and interesting was that Nomvula Mokonyane was standing, in fact, stood up and started singing along with them. Didn't say, "Oh, guys, aren't you gonna wait and see what Jacob Zuma has done in court?
No.
Or aren't you gonna just read up a bit about some of the stuff that's going on?" No, but they sang it and so forth. So it's been a divided province. So on Friday, they hold this conference. Gwede Mantashe is sent there to open the conference with a big, nice speech. By the way, you might have noticed that his suits have become way better. Even he's walking around telling people that, "Have you noticed my suits are looking nice?" Huh?
Yes.
Maybe he's taking tips from our friend here. See, I see you. You're rocking a hot suit today. This is new, man. It's new. What's the occasion there? Is there an ANC conference in the studio? Anyway, so Gwede Mantashe arrives in a flash new suit, nicely tailored, you know, someone's really been speaking to him. And lo and behold, he starts speaking and people stand up and start singing, "Tell us, what has Jacob Zuma done?" And he says, "I'm going to speak, unless this is not an ANC meeting. If this is an ANC meeting, I'm going to speak." I must say, he stared them down, but they just kept on singing. The upshot was that he didn't give the speech. Three regions had also gone to court to interdict the process. They said that Sihle had essentially packed the room and the conference with his own supporters so that he wins again and he becomes ANC provincial chair and gets rid of his enemies. So you have a situation here. The ANC in KwaZulu-Natal is as divided, as factionalized as it has always been, as it was before the December Nasre conference. You have the Ramaphosa crowd, and you have a very strong Jacob Zuma support base, led by Sihle Zikalala and a few others. Now, what we are hearing more and more from reporters based in KwaZulu-Natal is that Jacob Zuma himself had a meeting with some of the leaders of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. Sihle Zikalala himself says, no, I didn't meet with Jacob Zuma. I forget her name, the lady who is the mayor of Eteguini. It has been mentioned as being one of these key leaders. And you might have noticed in some of the footage from last Friday, she walks from stage where she was sitting down to the crowd and whispers to people and then goes back up. Doesn't say anything about Comrade Stop. She just sits there.
It suits her to have a bit of chaos, right?
It does suit her. Also, she is facing quite a few corruption charges at the moment. So there you go. Anyway, so the allegation is that Jacob Zuma said, this conference must not go ahead. You must disrupt it. And it was disrupted.
Who's calling the shots?
Now, what is even more interesting is that there's a grouping called Mazibuyele Emasisweni.
What's that?
Mazibuyele Emasisweni is a group of young guys who are going around speaking to traditional leaders, particularly in KZN, speaking to the taxi industry and funeral parlor owners and saying, guys, we need to form a party to support Jacob Zuma. They are claiming that Jacob Zuma knows of them, and in fact, he does know of them because they were at his party 2 weeks ago. They organized a welcome back home party in Nkandla for him, and he spoke there. And they're saying they have his blessings to go around and ask all of us if we want a new political party centered around Jacob Zuma, espousing radical economic transformation, and also espousing that all land must be handed over to traditional leaders for traditional leaders to administer on our behalf.
Oh.
So you have this grouping going around drumming up support. They were in Johannesburg this week, and they're doing all sorts of other things. And Jacob Zuma has said, I'm not leaving the ANC, but he hasn't said, and this is what Bladen Zimande, and I agree with him, has said, that why aren't you saying, you people are organizing, but don't do it in my name and don't associate it with me because you're going against my organization, the ANC. So where's Jacob Zuma as the ANC implodes in KwaZulu-Natal? Jacob Zuma is in the thick of it and seems to be very much someone who is...
Listen, he's got problems on the horizon. He's got legal challenges. He was in court this week again. I saw people dancing around outside of the court. It's been postponed. The man is a retired president. He's got a very cushy life if he continues to be the retired president because, you know, life doesn't have to be too complicated.
Yeah.
It you get everything done for you. Just relax. He can't help himself.
Can't help himself. But the point about Jacob Zuma is that he might go to jail. Just the political implications for those who listen for these kinds of things. If the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal splits, the ANC in Gauteng, in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape, all over the country, the ANC in 2009 and 2014, the ANC lost support, or its support declined. Other parties started coming up. The DA grew. The EFF came to the fore. COPE and others sort of fell apart, but others came in as well. The important thing about what's happening to the ANC is If the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal splits, then you have a problem. Because the one area where the ANC was growing, the ANC splits. In Gauteng, where the ANC has gone from more than 60% to mid-50s and is now at about 52%, what if you have a splinter influenced by those events? The ANC loses power in Gauteng. The ANC might hang on to power in KZN, but it might have to go into coalition with people like the DA or someone else. The ANC will be forced into coalitions. So we have a situation now, in fact, where the ANC's internal actions will lead to the implosion of the ANC itself, even with Cyril Ramaphosa. The ANC as a party is in trouble. We don't talk about it enough because Ramaphosa is so nice and lovely and so forth. Ramaphosa's approval levels is at 76%. People love him as much as they loved Mandela in the 90s.
That's big.
That's where it was.
That's very big, yeah.
But at the same time, in the latest Ipsos poll, if you look at the numbers, they say Cyril 76%, yeah, we love him. And they say to same person, oh, will you you love Cyril so much, will you vote for the ANC? And the person says, I'll think about it, I'm not sure. And so support for the ANC is 52% from 62% in the 2014 election. So Cyril Ramaphosa's popularity and the ANC popularity are very different. And in South Africa, we don't vote for Cyril, we vote for party. And so for the ANC, I think Gauteng is a particularly vulnerable province. I think the Northwest is vulnerable. The DA came out the other day saying that it's targeting Northern Cape again because they've targeted that before. But I think that they have a chance now, if they run their affairs properly, to force the ANC to go below 50. And either the ANC goes into coalition with someone else, or the DA goes into coalition with maybe the EFF again. Although I did see Julius Malema tweeting that he's had enough. It's very soon he's gonna have it up to here with Musima Emani. And I thought, trouble in the coalition there. But we'll see. So you know, there's a new book doing the rounds, and it might be worth, in fact, interviewing the author who's teaches at UCT, Scriber.
Yes, it's called Coalition Country. We actually Coalition spoke to him already this week.
I'm
onto it, Justice.
You are.
Drop
you're
a hint,
the ball,
and I'm there
on the ball. And I think that could be a very important book. I haven't read it myself. I'm looking forward to reading it. But I think the scenarios of a coalition are actually being enhanced by Jacob Zuma's actions and the ANC's actions in KwaZulu-Natal. Because the KwaZulu-Natal vote, once that's split, the ANC is not looking at 60s anymore. It might stay in power at 50-something nationally, but it means in vulnerable provinces, things will have changed and changed significantly.
All right. Can we talk quickly about the public protector, because there's quite a lot of controversy this week around
Gareth, there's always controversy around the public protector. This is just another week.
So Busisiwe Mgwebane has hardly covered herself in honor and she's hardly been impressive in her job in terms of what she's decided to go after and what she's decided to ignore. We were talking just the other day about, you know, Floyd and the EFF and Julius and the EFF and what they say sometimes and how, you know, occasionally people take them seriously, occasionally not. Sometimes the media enjoy what they're saying because it sells them newspapers and so on. But I can't believe that Busisiwe Mgwebane has decided that a big issue in our lives is, and by no means are we saying Helen Zille's tweets were great. But that this is an issue that the public protector must busy herself with.
Yes. I'm, you know, actually, it's for those who have a bit of time, our listeners should read Pierre Defosse's piece. I think he wrote it in the Daily Maverick the day after, 2 days after. After Busisi Mkhwebane wrote, released her report on this issue. First of all, he makes the point that what exactly is she investigating? Because it's very clear what the public protector has to investigate, and it's in the constitution. But she seems to have sort of walked away from that constitution and decided, no, actually, I will investigate this because I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she makes recommendations saying the Western Cape legislature must censure her or take action because she breached certain sections of the constitution. Now, he points out that actually there is no censure for that is envisaged by the constitution or the legislation that comes from it on these issues. So what exactly are you doing here? And I find it interesting that it's almost with our public protector that if something she thinks that something is politically will give her political points, that she'll go for it. So the APSA Bankop deal where money was paid under apartheid to Bankop to save it from collapse and so forth. She went for it because, oh, it seems like I'll garner some support, particularly from Andile Mngxitama and the Black First Land First threesome. It's not a movement, is it? So basically it's like, no, I'll get some threesome. I mean, how many are there? Have you seen anyone?
It's about three, you're right.
Yeah, it's Andile and two others. Going for it. They're so lovely, those two. I see now they've become Jacob Zuma's
And Carl Niehaus has suddenly resurrected his political career. I thought he'd gone very quiet. Didn't his mother die three times or something as well?
Yes, and then he killed two people. I think it was his dad first.
Yes.
That's when the deputy minister, Andries Snell, felt bad after giving him money. Andries Snell decided, I should actually show my face at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in his car, went to, is it Rustenburg or somewhere in Northwest where he's from? Gets there, gets to the house and thinks, it's very quiet. Where's all the other mourners and da da da? Gets to the door, knocks on the door, ding, and I think the mom opens the door and he says, I'm so sorry for your loss. I've come to, see you all. She says, what do you mean you're sorry for our loss? He said, well, I heard about Dad. And she says, what? Dad is in the, is watching rugby in
sure.
the living room.
Calm the house. What an embarrassment.
It's my best theory.
But back to Busisiwe. Now, she digs up these stories that, and she decides to follow up on stories which she thinks will get her political points.
Yes. So in this one, Helen Zille tweets, and we've had this discussion about those tweets. Helen Zille thinks she can tell people what hurts them and what doesn't hurt them. She can't be the arbiter of that. If someone says, you know what, colonialism and you referring to it in this way hurts you, have some respect, have some humility and say, you know what? Yeah, okay.
Helen says, no. I'll decide.
I will tell you what hurts you. You know, it's the most patronizing. I can't believe this person. But anyway, so she does it.
Yeah.
Now, we've had this conversation of what is freedom of speech, what is allowed, what is offensive and what's not offensive. But is this a matter for the public protector? People are stealing money from poor people. That is what she's supposed to work on. People are doing egregious, that's a lovely long way.
I love it.
Things out there. But no, she's not doing that, you know? It's let's go and investigate the feelings of people about Helen Zille's tweet, and then, you know, has she transgressed the constitution? So first of all, you know, maybe someone put in, But what is important, and what's important in that Pierre Dufour's piece, was that this touches on the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are the rights that all of us has. She has no jurisdiction over investigation of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights and the Constitution can be interpreted by the Constitutional Court, not by the public protector. The public protector needs to go out and say, ban. The state was supposed to make sure that Ben has running water and electricity and they have failed signally. And so Ben can go and complain and she will investigate and sanction them as proper. Or Ben can say, you know what? There's a big house going up in my neighborhood. It turns out it's Cyril Ramaphosa's house, paid for by taxpayers. That's misuse of taxpayers' money. Not rights and responsibilities. The South African Human Rights Commission can go and investigate that tweet. The Constitutional Court can declare if anyone makes an application on the merits and demerits of hate speech and so forth. She has no jurisdiction, but she decides, you know what? I'm getting on that plane. I'm going to investigate a tweet.
It's backfired rather spectacularly on her with many people saying, you know what? This woman now needs to be replaced.
So many of us have been saying for years that Busisi Mkhwebane doesn't seem to know exactly what she's doing and why she's there. I find it amazing that she's still in her job, but so many others are still in their job. But I think increasingly she will find herself having to go. But I find it amazing with all these people who are people are asking for them to go, and they just don't seem to think that they will go. But I'm positive about all these things, whether it's Tom Moyane or Sean Abrahams. I think that they will go. I'm sad that Cyril Ramaphosa's team seems to be botching up the paperwork and the case against Tom Moyane. But that said, I do think that all these bed eggs that seem to have been planted by Jacob Zuma in strategic places are feeling the pressure. And I think Busisi Mkhwebane is one of them, and it's a classic example of that sort of thing.
Someone who's leaving with unfinished business is Mabale Moloi.
Mabale Moloi is leaving. Mabale Moloi, you know, I feel sad about Mabale Moloi leaving, you know. I mean, I'm actually quite gutted, to be honest.
But you are the same individual who comes in here and makes fun of Free State My Free State every chance you get. But well, carry on, sir.
I didn't raise it myself, but seeing as you're raising the Free State, we relied on you, Mabale Moloi, you know. We sat here saying we've got, you know, what was the movie or the book? Our Men in Havana. You know, we knew that we had an in the Free State.
Yeah.
Someone was going to sort out the Free State.
Yeah. We held hope.
We had hope. So I want you to explain to us why you're leaving now. In fact, there are some things you need to finish off before you leave. When's your last day?
Tomorrow.
Shock, horror. The Free State government paid.
Yeah, let's talk about this, Maps.
140 million rand,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
For a website.
Ben, you're a tech guru.
I've seen this website. I remember this.
You remember this? 140 million rand.
Yes.
Apparently, if APSA or FNB or some bank wants a high-tech, super secure website, the most they'll pay is 12 million rand. Like, you know, 7 passwords, put on your fingers, 12 million rand.
Mm.
But our friends in the Free State,
140 million rand for a crap website.
I could actually create that website with $12 in an hour of your day. I'll do it right now.
So, Mabale, all I'm saying is we relied on you
right
to go to the Free State, have a word, and get a few people, you know, just get a warning letter, not to be arrested. We don't want that. We don't want them to go to jail. But no, this scandal, 140 million. Where did it go, Gareth? What 140
Justice,
million?
Justice, it has gone into a black hole. No one seems to be able to trace this money. But then there's also the significant other problems that Mabali has to face in the Free State. I mean, 20 million rand was spent on Ace's farewell. We still don't know where that is. And then our favorite person, who seems to be making noises again.
Yes.
We thought he'd gone quiet. We thought we'd heard the last of him. But Claudio Motsweneng is back in the picture.
Yeah. Oh, my word. He wants his job back.
Well, have you never wanted to go back to a previous place of employment because, you know, you later realize that, you know what? That wasn't the worst time of my life.
That was the good stuff.
Those were the good days.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mabala, I just think, you know, when you go off, ride off into the sunset.
Yes.
Shane, off. I think that you have unfinished business here.
Okay.
The hero in all those westerns would always kill off the bad guy and then get on their horse and ride off. Mabala Moloi leaves 140 million rand unaccounted for with that website. We need to know.
Okay.
20 million rand for Ace's farewell. How much are we, what's the budget for Mabala's farewell, by the way? 20 million rand?
At least. We're going to have to earmark some more.
It's the Free State standard. That's like, yes. That's how we operate.
Are we going to be able to, because with 20 million rand, Ace told people to go to the local stadium in Mangaung. I don't know. Should you fill up F&B for Mabala?
I think so. And we could probably give her a golden handshake, maybe a Rolex worth a couple of hundred thousand. I mean, this is what happens in politics, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw just because I know you do want to move on, and I know that Mabala's leaving is going to affect you very, very much, Justice, as it will affect all of us.
Totally devastated.
But I will say this, that there is an interesting thing going on at SAA. There's an interesting thing going on at Eskom. We spoke about those 0% increases the new CEO wants to make, which I think is a very brave stand. Of course, Praveen has come and swept in and said, I'll negotiate between the union and the CEO. But good for him. He says you don't deserve an increase. Eskom is paying far in excess of what it should for the people in the top tier.
Yeah.
And workers are not struggling at Eskom.
Yeah.
In fact, the public are struggling to pay.
The average salary at Eskom is 751,000 rand per annum.
That's the average salary.
The average salary. So that's not the highest salary, and that's not that. That's just averages out. So these are not poor people. These are the middle class.
And they want 15%, according to the union, increases. I mean, go to hell, right? Fire a lot of them.
You know, these guys are. It's quite something. But all this has an impact, and I think one thing we haven't spoken about with all the wage negotiations going around. Is that particularly in the public service, this administration, Jacob Zuma, Cyril Ramaphosa have said, we are going to tighten belt and we're going to show you that we're not spending.
Here, just SAA's CEO, the new one, who we like the sound of, he seems to be one of those people who, 6.7 million rand a year. The new acting head of legal, 4.2 million rand a year. And two new hires in the CEO's office, regulatory policy officer, Thabang Motsoi, who gets 4 million rand a year, and Robert Newsom, acting head of risk and compliance for 2.5 million rand a year. Those are big salaries.
Those are big salaries.
For a company that keeps on dipping into the coffers of state because they can't run themselves properly.
They won 21.7 billion rand this year. So I think the key thing here is that the impact is on the fiscus, because all this is going back to your money in the budget. We need to be careful. We might be downgraded with all the positivity around Cyril Ramaphosa. If the finances don't get sorted out, we might get... So under Thabo Mbeki, we had 27% government debt. It's gone to 50% under Jacob Zuma. So we kept on borrowing money to to fund SAA, Eskom, and so forth. If we keep on doing this, if they get higher increases and so forth, then we're going to have to start borrowing again, which is something that we did stop in February this year when Malusi Gigaba gave us a different kind of budget. But that means that that graph starts going up again, that we're falling again into debt. We start getting into the 50s now. And by 2022, the projection was that will be 60% of GDP will be debt. That would mean automatic downgrade from Fitch, S&P, Standard & Poor's. That would mean that now, if you think things are tough, things will look extremely tough then.
And just one other thing, I saw that the Daily Maverick this morning publishing an article from Wayne Duvenage, he's the businessman who started Outer.
Oh.
He said that there is nothing more gratifying to millions of South Africans who are concerned about the vast increase in taxes, tariffs, tolls, levies, and bailouts emanating from state capture than to see the appointment of new leadership who are serious and intent on setting the country on a new trajectory of recovery. Mm. But he says that all the members of these new boards and the new CEOs must hold their predecessors criminally accountable for the situation that those companies find themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm feeling very ambivalent, Gareth, about the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into State Capture.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to spend millions of rands. We're going to spend the next 2 or 3 years listening to people tell us how the Guptas did this, how Jacob Zuma instructed this one, and so forth. So you'll have everyone from Cebisi Jonas, Fakey Mentor, all kinds of people telling us what's going on. But a commission of inquiry is only useful if it leads to people going to trial, appearing before court, being prosecuted, and either going to jail or being found not guilty. The reason why people are losing faith in the criminal justice system is that no one goes to jail.
Hmm.
People have done some incredible things. Everything that we're going to talk about. So at Eskom, for example, there should be charges laid against those people who are accused of all this stuff that happened. Same thing at Transnet. Same thing. Think about at Prasa. I'm amazed that people paid billions of rand for trains that are so tall they can't go through under a bridge. We knew this. Mabale, why are you leaving when the trains have not been fixed?
Because money has disappeared out of the Free State and now I no longer need to work. I mean, are you struggling to connect the dots here? I can bounce now. I'm out.
So I mean, how can anything not be straightforward? But no one, the guy who said yes to that deal lied and said, I have a PhD.
Yeah.
When the guy had, I don't think he even had a junior degree.
But nothing happens to him.
Nothing happens to him. So Wayne Duvenage is absolutely right. But what it seems like, what happened to Dudu Mieni, who says every time she was at Jacob Zuma's court appearance on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
If on the same day Parliament had said, come and account for what happened at SAA, she was always sick.
Yeah, she was very ill, deathly ill.
Always. Yeah. But on the same day that a few months ago that she was supposed to appear, lo and behold, a reporter from BLT sees her at a hotel in Tshwane having dinner. And guess what she was doing as well? She was having a glass of wine.
Mm.
White wine, Mabali, by the way.
It comes recommended by the doctor, you know. A glass of wine a day.
Thank you.
So
you and Dudu Mieni have got it sorted on the health issues. So anyway, so the point I think when Duvenage is making is that I'm disappointed by these new boards and executives, because they don't seem interested in saying part of the reason why these things happen in these organizations is because of corruption, and where there's evidence, people should be charged. When I hear that so-and-so is going to appear before the parliamentary committee on water, what will the parliamentary committee do? Nothing.
Yeah.
No one goes to jail. And it's time people knew that there is consequence in South Africa. The problem is that people don't know and don't, well, they know that there's no consequence in South Africa.
Justice continues to be very controversial on his TV show, The Justice Factor. He continues to be very controversial on social media. I saw you tweeting something about the International Criminal Court, which we won't have time for today, but we must address because this is important.
That is very important.
South Africa seems like we're on a trajectory to leave the ICC, and you've got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
But today's not just about you, Justice. Today is really Mabali's day to go and cash in the Free State. So let's let her have her fun.
I mean,
really. All right. Thank you, Justice. That's the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's this morning on cliffcentral.com. Every week, Justice Malala comes in, gives us an idea of what's going on in the country.
Can I suggest a parting gift for Mabali?
Sure. Yes.
I don't know if you saw this, but the mayor of a town called Koster in the northwest, she built a guest house, and the municipality had a choice. People couldn't get to the local clinic, the local hospital. The road was terrible, and so she took the money that was meant for the road to the local hospital, and built and tarred the road to her guest house instead. Okay. And I thought that is public service. Mm. If you are going to sleep at her guest house, you have to get there in style.
Yes.
On a tarred road.
Yes.
I so Mabali, if there's anything we can do, can we tar the road to your house?
Is there something we can do to your house in Kwaku?
No, that's I've already got that sorted out. Thank you. It's being taken care of as we speak. I am basically going to fly back home and arrive on my own landing strip. That's how it's being taken care of.
All right. Thank you, Justice. This is CliffCentral.com.